Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm here with Jordan Ron on ESPN, ESPN.com Giants reporter. I'm here with the post-training camp checkup because when you think about it, okay, so actual training camp is over. We're now into the preseason portion of the summer. I'm taping this on Friday morning. There's a reason for that. We'll get to that in a second. And the first preseason game is later tonight in Detroit. Giants, of course, joint practice in Detroit. We'll get to what I heard from those and really an overview of what we've seen so far. Really, I'm going to give you a list of the five players that I thought have been most impressive to date so far for the Giants. And then a list of guys that I think have failed to capitalize on the opportunities that were provided at the beginning of the summer. But before we get there, we have to address the fact that there's a little break. There was a little break here in the podcast. I've been trying to record the last few days. Been trying to get Connor Hughes from SNY to come on. And I've been getting big timed by young Connor Hughes, right? The same young man who once, I searched his name recently in my phone and came up in 2013 as a college student, was asking me to answer questions for him, which I did, and he sent me a shit ton of them and wanted long answers, and I did it, is now big timing. I say this all tongue-in-cheek, but in a way, he has now joined the enemies of the show. Because I tried to get him on Wednesday. That didn't happen. He was too busy. Right? Between practice, golf, dinner, didn't happen. Thursday, he's out there all day, golfing and golfing and golfing, dinner again. Keep pushing me back. And big times me. Little old Connor Hughes, now officially an enemy of the show, enemy of the program, joining the list of the great Eric Flowers, Dave Gettleman, Paul DeTino, Damon Harrison. The list grows. Connor Hughes. Do you hear Connor Hughes? He was going to do an interview. He was going to give us the breakdown of what happened in Detroit because I was not there this week. But no, Connor Hughes was too busy for Breaking Big Blue. Can you believe the gall on that young man to prioritize golf over Breaking Big Blue? Man, the things that I've done for him, and this is how he repays me. This is how you get repaid for all the good deeds, all the help and guidance I've provided him over the years, all the emotional support, the help getting jobs of who he should call, who he shouldn't, and this is how I'm getting repaid. So we trudge on without Connor Hughes and his dispatches from Detroit. Now, I've spoken to people, so kind of the gist is pretty much what you've heard and read, and if you haven't, I'm going to go over it real quick. For day one, wasn't the best day for the Giants. Offense, sloppy. Daniel Jones, missing throws. Defense was okay. Day two, much better. Offense played really well. Daniel Jones hit some throws, made some big plays, especially in the red zone. Darius Slayton, again, continues to make plays. It's like everybody wants to forget Darius Slayton. We just want to gloss over Darius Slayton. He's not flashy, although he does get downfield. He's not a great player. He has his warts. Yes, he drops passes. But he continuously makes plays. He really does. And I'm not going to say I expect him to be their leading receiver, but if he turns out to be their leading receiver, would you be surprised? And the answer is no. So now Daniel Jones had his up and downs in Detroit. But in general, and this is I'm making this list right now of players that have been most impressive so far since the start of the summer, since the start of training camp. And number one is Darren Waller, just because, holy cow, the dude's a freak. And anytime you throw it to him, he's seemingly catching it. He's open all the time. So he's at the top of my list. But number two is Daniel Jones. And here's why. Here's why I say Daniel Jones. If you look at the start of practice and you go and you look at the numbers and you add them up, I have Daniel Jones in live drills with one interception throughout this whole training camp in live drills. I'm talking 7-on-7 and 11-on-11. I don't think you understand how impressive that is. So that, and it really, in my mind, shows you the command he has of the offense in comparison to last year and the previous years. The confidence, the command. Now, the skills I've always thought were there. Anyone who says Daniel Jones, you know, his arm is pedestrian, he can't really throw, can't make this throw or that throw, you know, isn't overly athletic, you're just not paying attention. Because the dude has the physical skill. He can make all the throws. He's huge. Go stand next to Daniel Jones. And he's a good athlete. He can run. We saw that last year. But his command of the offense is really, there's a huge uptick, in my opinion. And this is year two of the system with Mike Kafka and Brian Daboll. So he's been very impressive to me. Number three on the list of most impressive players this summer has been Trey Hawkins. Sixth round pick. Heard he had his ups and downs a little bit in Indianapolis, but the Giants are just raving about him. There's a reason why all of a sudden he's sneaking in there and taking some first-team snaps. Because he's been that impressive, and I think Brian Daboll, when I've asked him about this, he says he earned it. And it's true. Trey Hawkins has been that impressive. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to come in as a rookie, as a sixth-round pick from Old Dominion, and play at a really high level. You know, like, let's say Tariq Woolen did last year for the Seahawks. It's still a big jump to expect that, which is why I am a little hesitant, and we saw it throughout the summer so far. It happened again. They did it again in Detroit, where Hawkins and Deontay Banks, the other rookie, who's been better, by the way, who's been much better. So the Giants are high on those two guys. Two young cornerbacks. Think about that. Two young cornerbacks here. If they pan out, this defense is in so much better shape. But we've seen the two of them play outside with Adoree Jackson on the interior. And I get it. It might be their best three guys right now. But throwing two rookies out there and having to face, then one of them having to face, when Adoree goes to the slot, the best outside, like A.J. Brown matched up against one of those guys in the game, or DK Metcalf they play, or Tyreek Hill, like, they'll get torn apart. Banks and Hawkins. And I don't care how well Hawkins plays. Like, that's not the matchup that you want. They're going to need Adoree Jackson on the outside primarily. So I don't really see that as something that's more than an occasional thing. I think the more likely scenario is that the Giants look around and maybe find us a veteran nickel slot guy out there. Because it's clear they want to replace Darnay Holmes in some way, shape, or form. They keep trying other guys in there. Now Holmes keeps ending up back with the first team. He was there in Detroit. But who feels really confident with Darnay Holmes in the slot right now? I don't think the answer is anybody. Cordell Flott has failed to impress. He's on my list of players who have failed to capitalize this summer. We'll get to that in a minute. So the playing Banks and Hawkins, even though Hawkins has been great, he's number three on my list of most impressive players this summer, I'm hesitant to say that that's the way that this team needs to go in the regular season with Banks and Hawkins on the outside. Two rookies, you start playing number one receivers, it's not going to go well. It's going to be ugly. It's not going to be pretty.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Number four on my list of players who have impressed this summer is Jason Pinnock. Now, when Julian Love left, when they allowed him to walk, the Giants did that, and their first thought was, we think Jason Pinnock can step into that role next to Xavier McKinney and be a really good player. And he has done that so far this summer. He has played really well. The Giants are really happy with that young secondary. Pinnock, a young guy, claimed off waivers actually last year from the Jets. The Jets kind of got in a numbers crunch. Didn't really want to lose him, but the Giants capitalized, picked him up right before week one last season. And now guess what? Jason Pinnock is likely going to start. He came into the summer with a competition with Dane Belton, who's been pretty good, and Bobby McCain, who hasn't really impressed, who beyond that failed to capitalize list as well. And Pinnock has played the best and earned that opportunity. I'd be surprised if he wasn't the week one starter at this point. Now we'll see what happens in the preseason. There's still a little ways to go. I think the Giants want to see him play. He was banged up last year at times, at off-season procedure on his shoulder. We talked to him a couple weeks ago about that. And then that kept him out a little bit in the spring as well. So you're talking about a player who needs reps. I would expect to see him more and more as we move along here. Preseason practice, really get entrenched with that first team. And I'd be surprised if he didn't start. And number five on my list of most impressive Giants this summer has been Paris Campbell. Like, I knew he was a decent player. I knew he could play. But he's built. He's compact. He catches the ball. There's a lot to like with him. I think he, if he stays healthy, is their leading wide receiver. Now, maybe Waller leads the team in catches and yards, whatever. I think Paris Campbell has a chance to lead this team in catches. Actually, he could lead the team in all those categories. I really do. But the key for him has always been staying healthy. So can he stay healthy? We don't know the answer to that. Same with Darren Waller, right? Crossing their fingers, hoping he's staying healthy. But you have DJ Daniel Jones playing the way he has been this summer. And you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know, I'm not easily impressed. This is the best I think their offense has looked. And I can say this pretty confidently in, what? I guess since before that 2016 season, because the 2016 season, that offense didn't look great. And then it went downhill after that. They really haven't been able to tick back up. So probably since like 2015. This is the best the Giants offense has looked since 2015. Think about that for a second. Now it's early. It's only training camp. We haven't really seen them in preseason. We saw a little enjoying practice. I heard dispatches about it. And they were up and down in that. But overall, you have Daniel Jones, a more confident, better version than we've probably ever seen, with improved weapons. And the amazing part, Saquon Barkley. I mean, I haven't even mentioned his name. And he's just kind of flown under the radar all summer, which is amazing to think about what we thought we were going to be hearing throughout the summer, and now not a peep. I don't even know if anyone's asked a question about Saquon Barkley in weeks. Think about that for a second. Weeks. No one's asked a question about Saquon Barkley. That is music to the Giants' ears. Now, let's go to the players that have failed to capitalize. All right, and I mentioned Cordell Flott. He had a chance to win that slot, that spot. The Giants wanted to find someone. And he's barely getting first-team reps at this point. Barely getting first-team reps. So that's not overly encouraging for Cordell Flott. I think he's miscast out there. He's only playing slot because they need a slot and they want to fill that spot.
I think ideally he's built to be an outside cornerback. You know, he's bigger, longer, skinny. Like, that's not generally what you get from slot nickel cornerbacks. So I think he's kind of out of position. I'd like to see him back on the outside at some point. Darian Beavers, right? It's clear right now that Micah McFadden has outperformed him and is now the favorite to start at inside linebacker next to Bobby Okereke. Micah McFadden has had a nice little camp. His coverage has been solid. I think that's where he wins. Now, Darian Beavers, this is tough because you're talking about a player who was a late round pick, sixth, seventh rounder, was already not the fastest guy, and then he tore his knee last year. So he just hasn't looked to have that same explosiveness so far. And the reality is with a player like that, it could take a full year before he comes back and is really back to that same level. And if Darian Beavers loses a little bit of speed, which it looks like he has to me right now, then what are you getting from Darian Beavers? And this is like Ryder Anderson is on this list too, and it's not anything more than that Ryder Anderson got injured, and now he's dealing with a triceps injury, which is never good. It usually means that the triceps is eventually going to tear and his season is going to be over. They're going to try and manage it, play through it. But when you do that, if you have 80% of Ryder Anderson, that's not good enough. 80% of Ryder Anderson is probably not an NFL player. So injury has put Ryder Anderson in a tough spot as well. Jeff Smith, you could add him to the list. He has been cut recently. He got banged up, and he wasn't really making a mark. I put Jamison Crowder on here, too. He started to make more plays lately, but on the fail to capitalize this summer, that's a crowded position. Jamison Crowder has to stand out, I think, to make this roster. And he hasn't really done that often, right? Cole Beasley has probably done a little more, gotten more opportunities than him. Sterling Shepard's actually looked pretty good, especially off the two serious injuries. Plus, he brings a little something extra to the team. You obviously have Hyatt, you have Slayton, you have Campbell, you have Hodgins. Colin Johnson brings a different thing. How about Bryce Ford Wheaton? Also, I would keep an eye on him. The fact that he's getting special teams reps makes me think that Bryce Ford Wheaton has shown this team something. And he has that size, he has that speed, he has that athleticism, that he could give them something. So him or Colin Johnson kind of fill that role. One of those two guys, I think, will earn that last roster spot at wide receiver. I'd keep an eye on Bryce Ford Wheaton, especially in this preseason, particularly on special teams, by the way. So we'll see how that comes out. Tomon Fox is another guy I've heard his name as being impressive for the Giants. Not enough failed to capitalize this, but that Tomon Fox is a guy this coaching staff really likes. They do. And man, the guy makes flash plays. He's an outside linebacker, young guy, North Carolina. I haven't heard much about Kayvon Thibodeau and Azeez Ojulari. I haven't heard that they've been bad, but I also haven't heard that they've been overwhelmingly good, which has me a little intrigued, right? They need these guys, at least one of them, to be a double-digit sack guy. I think they're both good players. I think the jury's out on whether either one of them could develop into a high-end player. I haven't seen anything this summer that tells me that those guys are dominant players. I will say that. Now it's early. We'll see how it goes. And that could be a problem for the Giants overall. But you want to see, I would have liked to see Kayvon Thibodeau dominate on a regular basis. You don't. I don't see that. Like, it looks like, and even from talking to people there, Aiden Hutchinson, granted he was drafted higher. He was drafted what? First overall? Second? Kayvon Thibodeau was fifth to the Giants. Hutchinson looks like he's going to be the better player. I even saw him, so I don't have it in front of me, but I get sent all these emails with odds, and one of these sites had Aiden Hutchinson's over-under of sacks was around double digits, around 10. I think Kayvon Thibodeau was like 6.5, 7. Like, Those are different levels, players you're talking about. Guy who's, the guy can go over and get, you know, 10 or 12 sacks even, like Aiden Hutchinson, and they're expecting Kayvon Thibodeau, if he gets over, to get 8 or 9. It's a different level. A different level of player. And it looks like Aiden Hutchinson is going to be a star, though. Now, it looks like Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be a good player. Jury's out on whether he could be a great player. I haven't seen that this summer, where I'm like, that guy, he's going to be great. The guy, look at Darren Waller, I'm like, that guy could be a great player. You know, if he's on the field, if he's healthy, he dominates all the time, consistently. We still need to see that from Kayvon Thibodeau's game.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So I'm going to wrap this podcast right here. It's a one-segment podcast. Blame it on Connor Hughes, new enemy of the show. We might have to have him on just to talk about how he could do this to us, how he has, you know, the huevos to stand us up after all we've done for him. Young Connor Hughes from SNY, your time will come where you are going to need to explain. I'll come back to you early next week. Let's watch this first preseason game, see what's going on. Take notes. Matt Parrott, an interesting one, has been the right tackle. That's a player I would keep a very close eye on in this game. He's looking to earn an opportunity. And remember, Evan Neal was not great last year. Having a guy that they trust at right tackle would be valuable. Matt Parrott's a third-round pick from a couple years ago, dealt with knee injuries, has done very well. Josh Azudu, another one on the offensive line to keep an eye on. He's going to get opportunities and shots at left guard. I'm curious to see how he does. So those are two of the names that I'm looking at, and obviously the rookies. You want to see Jalen Hyatt, Deontay Banks, Trey Hawkins. Let's see how they do in their first game action. We'll get to that next week. I'm Jordan Ronan. You listen to Breaking Big Blue. See you next time.